This episode of WDW Today is brought to you by our friends at Off to Neverland. Off to Neverland Travel, that is. Trademark. Off to Neverland Travel. You know, they have the trademark to Off to Neverland.
Is it registered trademark?
Registered, the R.
Good for them.
I know, good for them. Off to Neverland Travel, a great travel provider. If you're planning your next trip to Walt Disney World, you want to contact one of their magic makers. You can do that at the domain. Go. They say domain still?
Yeah.
Go to neverland.com. And that's a specific domain that tells them that you heard about it right here on our podcast, WDW Today. Any trip you're planning, they're going to help you with itinerary. They're going to help you with dining. They're going to help you with whatever they can to make sure you have a great and fabulous trip. And also, they offer packages. Some people were confused about De Las Puertas and WDW Today Weekend. It's all one big thing if you're going to book through Off to Neverland. So WDW Today Weekend also includes De Las Puertas, and they have the only access to some of the VIP seats, front row seats still available through.
The best seats in the house.
The best seats in the house through Off to Neverland, and that is at gotoneverland.com. And as Will likes to say,
all you've got to do is pack.
Pack. Pack. No, not
not again.
On with the show.
Give me a little intro there, Gomer.
Bringing the world to your world. This is WDW Today, coming to you from somewhere off property at the Laugh-O-Gram Studios, featuring Len Testa and the greatest band in podcasting, Off Kilter. Now here they are, Terry Weaver, the nature boy Will Haynes, and your host, Logan Seculo.
It's Wednesday, April the 13th. Is that right?
That's right.
And this is episode 1507, regardless of what your iTunes feed says, of WDW Today this week. I'm Logan Seculo.
I'm Will Haynes.
I'm Terry Weaver.
And joining us for the entire broadcast today is surprise guest.
Len Testa.
Len Testa. Oh, yes. Joining us for, I think this is the first time you've been on with us for the whole show. And the reason we brought you on is because obviously this week, among all of the bad news that some people may have incurred or thought of, they finally made the update that we all kind of hoped would happen, or some of us at least hope would happen, with My Magic Experience. And I have a feeling it changes some touring plans and changes some way people are going to have their summer, spring, and fall trips to Walt Disney World. So let's just go over a little bit of an update of what actually happened. So if you update, you have to do it manually update, or if you have auto updates, it does it. But you do have to update the app for My Disney Experience. And what that does is unlock a whole host of new features. That's some have been there, they just haven't talked about them, but like things like you can modify your dining really easily now. So if you want to change how many people are in your party or the time, if it's available, you're able to do that without having to call in. You're able to, what's some of the other ones? Fast Pass, you're able to obviously, one the big one is the rolling Fast Pass now on your phone.
And you're not forced to make all three Fast Passes, you could just make one.
Right, and you can select the time. You don't,
well,
it's then, not
yeah, so, morning, evening.
So afternoon. Lynn, why don't you kind of take it from there?
The big thing with a couple of big changes. One is that you now get to see all of the times available for your Fastpass times available for the attraction that you want. Before, you had Disney would give you four different options for four different times of day, and they would give you a couple morning and a couple afternoon ones. Now they will show you everything that's available, and the advantage to that is you don't have to go back and change things, if Disney's original set didn't give you what you wanted. So that's big. That's really
yeah,
nice.
That's huge. I mean, I went on there just an AP person, or whatever you call me, AP member, or annual pass holder, and I went on there and just made a couple fast passes just to play with it. And yeah, it kind of changes the game with that. Because, I mean, when you start to think about it, the fact that they were pre-selecting you those three and the three options, at the time, I kind of just took it at face value. But now that you could see that the availability was, I could just pick what I wanted. It kind of is. It's almost breathtaking. It's odd. It's like, oh, I could do morning, afternoon, evening, 9 o'clock, 9:15. It's just it's almost I don't know. There's something very special about it, but it does add that extra one step of kind of being complicated because you're having to do more.
It does. You have to know more. The thing I like, though, is the flexibility that imparts. Like, if you want to do two morning and one right after lunch, that's easy to do now. Whereas before, with the previous versions, Disney would typically give you, like, you know, all morning or all afternoon. They wouldn't let you spread them out. And, again, you could go back and change them, but it was, three more clicks on the page, and it was just a huge hassle. So this is really good.
What does it change for the in-park experience, for those people that are going to the parks today now that, have been used to changing their times, making fast pass adjustments? Is the rolling four thing active? Is it working properly? Have you heard any reports?
You know, yesterday I think was the first day that it was available, and I heard that there were lots of issues with the app. But you know, but they'll get those resolved in a future update. I think the having the information, the complete list of all the FastPass times available, is important for a couple of reasons. One is you can figure out which attractions are likely to have more availability later, so it would help you prioritize your fourth FastPass. Let's say, for example, you're in Fantasyland and you're looking at either Enchantress with Belle or Haunted Mansion. You know, if you see 3 FastPass times available for Enchanted Tales with Belle and 20 available for Haunted Mansion, you would know to prioritize Enchanted Belle as your fourth FastPass.
Where the demand is that day.
Exactly. And I think that's really important. That was extremely difficult to get. In fact, that's why we put the single-page FastPass availability on lines, just to be able to show you what's available for that particular context. Now it gets a little bit easier on my Disney experience, still not as direct as it could be. But it's definitely better. And I think that's good. The other thing is just being able to do a fourth fast pass from a park that you're not in.
Okay, so that part stayed the same. You can
so you can do the fourth fast pass, but now you can actually do it from a park that you're not in. So if you're in the Magic Kingdom and you know your next fast pass is going to be at Epcot, you can do that now with the app.
See, I was kind of thinking they were going to go under the, all right, let's just make sure that fourth fast pass is, you know, if you're Magic Kingdom, you're stuck at Magic Kingdom. So that's actually, that's sort of a big win for the user. Because that kind of felt like that was a loophole that people, maybe they didn't really talk about. They didn't explain that, oh yeah, the rolling fourth, we don't really track it. So you can kind of go park to park. But now knowing that they're not only, they're embracing it is pretty big.
Yeah, you know, sure. I think that's it. That's something big for park hoppers.
I tell you what, I just went to make a dining reservation just for fun. And
which they love you doing.
Yeah, I haven't made it. I haven't but I went to see what was available, and I'll tell you this, much faster. I could have a 3:10 reservation for 4 at Skipper Canteen today if I wanted one.
Yeah.
And so that was fun. Considering that's a day of only reservation, I felt like that was super smooth, and it feels like they've actually listened to the user base and have made the changes that we've been asking for. And we're actually doing this on Facebook Live. I'll show you the reservation I was about
to
make.
There you go. You can click that and see what happens.
Yeah.
And then you can make the adjustments, right? That's the new thing is that, and I believe that was in a previous version because I think I played around with it a few weeks ago. But they've kind of, when you look at the notes on the app update, it's one of the things that it says is that now you can adjust your reservation. So before, you would make your reservation, it was confirmed, and then whenever you wanted to really change anything other than canceling within that 24-hour window, they made you call.
Yeah, and I think this is where the Disney phone agents were like, "Dear God, can you not put some programming in for us to do this?" Because you know, to handle a request like this on the app probably costs Disney about a tenth of a cent, but every phone call is probably $5.
Yeah, yeah. So. Manning phone centers is not cheap.
Talking to actual people is expensive.
Now, one of the things I've actually looked and thought about this. One of the problems with the dining app that I had before. I don't know if they've changed this. Are you allowed to select whether you have adult or children in that, or is it still just a number of people? Terry's going to look for me.
It's just a number of people.
Number of people. Number. See, this is still a weird issue. So we did Chef Mickey's, and if I book through the app, they assume, like, I booked it for 8 this last time, and out of those 8, 4 were children, and they're like, all right, 8 adults. I'm like, no. 4 are, 2 of them are not even going to eat. They are 6 months old or 3 months old. So sorry, but they are, I was like, okay, fine. Well, we don't have that listed. Give us a second now to adjust the table, pull out, you know, high chairs and put up stuff. They still haven't made that adjustment, which I find odd when, I don't know, there seem to be a lot of kids that eat at Walt Disney World.
Yeah, that's kind of one of their target bases.
So that's no fun. I hope that comes soon because that's always, I always get a weird look from the cast member of like, oh, you're one of those people.
One of those people that brought their kids to Disney.
And booked on an app.
Yeah, the only options I have are the date, the time, and the party size.
Yeah, so that party size feature is the one that needs a little adjustment if you're listening.
And I would think it would be for their benefit. I could care less. It doesn't affect me that much. But for them to know who's going to be there, what they're going to eat when they're there, I think
it
that's something they want to figure out.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, for the rolling fourth, we've heard, obviously, you said there's some issues. Now, what is everyone's thoughts on the fact that you now no longer have to wait in the line for the kiosk. You now no longer. And look, what it does for me is it takes me from being a 3 fast pass guy to now they have the ability to do it on the app to where I'll do it as much as I can. Where before, it actually limited me. So I would rarely go get in that kiosk line because I could not wait that length of time typically to not know if I'm going to get an attraction that my kids could ride or something that was soonish, not knowing what that would lead. I typically just go get in a standby somewhere. Will, what do you think?
Personally, not a fan of this. And I'm going to say something that's...
Yeah, you're going to be in the minority.
I'm going to be the extreme minority because I know it does make it a lot more convenient for a lot of people to get in the rides they want to ride and to make sure they're not waiting in line all day. I get that. I understand that. Here's my thought. What I love about Disney is the classic feel of it. I love getting a paper map and planning out where I'm going to hit and what I'm going to hit next. I mean, I like having to wait a little bit for... Now, I don't like waiting 3 hours, but standing in line is a part of it. Like, you're at an amusement park. You're standing in line. It's building that anticipation of getting on the ride and enjoying it. That's part of what the beauty of it is for me. So I'm not even really a FastPass guy in general. This, for me, takes...
Hey, Will?
Yeah.
I think there's some kids on your lawn. Do you want to go?
I know.
Yeah, exactly. I know. I'm not.
I think the only fast passes you've ever used are ones I've booked for you.
Exactly. I've never personally booked a fast pass because it's not exactly what the park is for me. And then I also look at it from the standpoint of if it becomes too technological, like if you're sitting on your phone trying to make reservations for rides all day long, then it takes some of the family time out of it. It takes some of the joy of walking around, grabbing something to eat at a kiosk, you know, because you saw the wait time was too long. Like, I don't know, just some of that magic in the park is going there and not really knowing what you're going to do, not having it all planned out to the T to the rides, because you're going to plan out your vacation. You're going to plan out where you're staying. You're going to plan out where you're eating. I like the dining reservations aspect of it. I like that it's kind of an open table for Disney that you can adjust, try to get day of reservations and stuff. But the whole FastPass thing, being able to access it on your app and make all those adjustments, I think it does take a little bit out of the parks for me. That's just how I feel. Sorry, I'm passionate. Mic drop.
your wife is watching right now too, Will. So you just did that for her.
She's like,
she just saw how passionate you were.
She's like,
about...
I hate standing in lines. Tell him to be quiet.
Yeah, you saw how passionate you were about an app.
Well, I think I heard someone predict over the weekend that the cell phone is going to eventually be the new Magic Band. You know, that eventually the Magic Band is going to go away. We're going to do all this on our cell phone. And I got to agree here a little bit with Will. Which you know, on matters of Disney, we don't always do.
Yeah, actually, we a lot of times disagree on the matters
of
Disney.
You know, I love planning ahead, but I think one of the things that's becoming really overwhelming about planning a Walt Disney World vacation is the fact of how much you have to plan, and you have to like know when you're going to eat. And there's nothing; it takes the spontaneity.
Yeah, exactly.
Out of just like, hey guys, let's go ride Splash Mountain.
Exactly. Being in the park is supposed to be fun. Like that, it does take all that. Planning and stress of a timeline and get rid of it. Now, I understand that because of crowds right now, that's not necessarily something you can just do. And I understand why this is a thing. I kind of wish that they would find another way to do it instead of making it...
on your device.
Yeah, because it's on the device. I know, it's like sitting at a meal and
everyone's on their phone.
I
did see also they updated, and maybe Lynn can confirm, I'm pretty sure, that at Epcot now for the Phineas and Ferb thing, you can do that on your phone too, now, right?
It's true, yeah, you can. So that's actually nice because your phone is probably better than the...
Oh, yeah, the little thing, the little fake cell phone. Derek just said, Will fell off his chair and hit his head. Someone please help him. You know, there's a lot of people
People think I'm crazy.
One person says, go back to paper fast passes. Now, look, we're not living in the 1800s here, guys. Come on.
Luddite.
You know, I'm with Will on this because we used to have a phone that was our vacation phone that like two people had the number to before smartphones really became a thing. So when we were on vacation, we were away. And so, you know, now you have to have your phone is kind of there.
Yeah. And we've seen that even with, you know, the cruise lines. Even now, almost everyone offers free or very discounted Wi-Fi service and these kind of things. What is the Wi-Fi? Are there still Wi-Fi charge on the Disney Cruise Line?
Yeah, there's Wi-Fi.
Oh my
but
God, it's the worst.
Well, one of them
does. $1 billion.
Like, is it like Royal Caribbean or one of the others?
Royal has an unlimited package.
Yeah, and Disney has, you know, the Disney Cruise Line app, which becomes basically your phone while you're on the cruise because you can
your magic
text
phone.
It makes your phone magical, if you will. Or if you're kind of wanting a vacation from your phone, it unmagical, depending on how you're looking at it.
we live in a different society when it comes to this. I am completely for this update, and the reason I'm saying is what I kind of mentioned before, and I'm curious Lynn's thoughts too, is as a dad of small children, it was a three attractions and hope we don't melt down between those three attractions and then wait in line and see how they deal with. Because what also would happen is my son would be like, I think John mentioned this, John Schneck, on our trip, which is after you've done like three attractions with no line, and then you have to tell your four-year-old, okay, now it's going to be 85 minutes. It is a little bit of like a, well, why can't I just go in that line? So I'm curious if now you're going to see someone like me who would probably stay in the park as an annual pass holder. Look, I know I'm different in this range. As an annual pass holder, staying in the park, doing my three attractions, typically getting a meal, and then hitting one or two standby attractions. Let's say I'm doing five attractions, to now going pretty much until I can't get a fast pass for something, you know, until I've run out of options. And I don't know. I find it very intriguing, and I'm looking forward to my next trip as my kids, or my son at least now, starts hitting those kind of height thresholds of being able to do the bigger rides. But Lynn, what are your
Yeah, tell me why I'm wrong, Lynn.
You know, I think there are a couple of things to take into account. One is we get email from a lot of people, especially older folks, who would simply prefer not to be tethered to their phone during a vacation. Those people generally do not like My Magic Plus in any incarnation, whether it's kiosks or tablets or whatever. They just don't want to do it. The interesting thing from my perspective is now that Disney does not require you to make three FastPass reservations at once, will we see lines for traditionally unpopular attractions like Journey into Imagination fall?
Yeah, I actually brought that up as an example yesterday when we were talking about this. Is, and will you see those being the options still? Like, usually you go up to the kiosk, and a lot of times it is options for attractions that have 5-minute waits.
Yeah.
Are you still going to have that, or is this going to – what does this do? I mean, I guess this gets down to the meat and potatoes of this. What does this do for people's touring plans moving forward?
A lot of it depends on what the usage is going to be. We saw definite increases in lines for things like Dinosaur and Journey into Imagination because being on the app reminded people that those things exist. And sometimes when other attractions weren't available, the popular attractions, the Soarin's, the Toy Story Minis, weren't available, people either picked those because they had to, or, you know, some of them just, I guess, picked them because it was interesting. If Disney mandates that three aren't required, we may see those lines go down. But the corollary to that is by sending people to those attractions through the app, it made lines at the headliner attractions shorter. And I'm not sure that Disney wants to give that up. So it may be something where Disney is, like we are, and Disney is looking at this and saying, I wonder what's going to happen to the lines at these secondary attractions. There may be another update after this where they either push you or recommend you to get a second or a third. Like, you know, why not book Journey into Imagination? I think attractions like Pirates of the Caribbean, those are always going to be popular from now on, simply because they have fast pass. But the secondary ones are where the interest is for me.
So what you're saying is, if we almost democratize the park, and there's those suggestions that looking at a map you may not just think about, that it could have the overall effect of pushing people to other attractions that aren't as popular, and therefore shortening the wait time for people even that don't have fast passes.
Yeah, and I think
I get
we
that.
See that in a number of attractions. Like Journey into Imagination, part of FastPass Plus was a 5-minute wait or walk on virtually all the time. Once FastPass Plus rolled out, it became a 15 to 30 minute wait. It did not become a 15 to 30 minute wait because Disney also did some sort of magical upgrade to the experience.
To the ride, yeah.
It's just
clearly
that
hasn't. Yeah, they haven't clearly.
Yeah, clearly that's not happened. Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. The fact that you don't have to do three anymore. Makes it interesting. The other thing I would love to see Disney do in terms of an experiment is randomize the presentation of the attractions. Right now they're sort of alphabetized. So things like Dinosaur, which a lot of people would forget about because it's in a corner of the park, Dinosaur gets a lot more play than it normally would. If Disney presented them randomly, you would see a completely different mix of crowd levels, I think.
Anyone else have any thoughts on the app? Any feedback we want to leave before we go to listener questions?
You know, I'm glad that Disney's continually improving the app. It's getting better and better. You can even look at the reviews online and see that it's getting better and better over time.
Do you think that this app update and release, I mean, it was rumored that it was coming, but do you think this is a part of the Disney releases something positive for the community after the pushback they got with the early and late park experiences?
Or do they care?
That's the other question is, do they actually care? But
you know, I don't think the two are related at all. You know, Disney does care. I think about the negative publicity that they're getting. There's a Time magazine article out now.
I saw that.
I think the phrase price gouging in the title or something like that. You know, so look for Disney too. I think that's why they announced their D23 thing, you know, last week. And you know, you're looking for a lot of ancillary stuff there. But this is something that Disney's known that they've needed to do for years. And so this is probably something where it's been in the works for 6 months or 9 months, and now it just happens to be the good time to release it.
Yeah, well, Mike Scabetta has been tweeting me to make sure I tell people and remind them they have to update their app. They don't just get this. So go to the App Store, click update. If it doesn't automatically update, you'll get the brand new app and play around with it. Have fun. Let us know what you think about it. And we do have some listener questions, and we'll go to those right after this, unless anyone has anything else. Did want to take a break out of the show before we get to listener questions with Lynn to tell you once again about our special event, WDW Today Weekend. And of course, kind of the main event, the headliner attraction, is that Friday night, which is the De Las Puertas Magic Media and Music Festival. And you can find out all the information on dlpfest.com, including our travel packages through Off to Neverland. We're talking about three hotels we have selected that have crazy prices. I priced it out myself, and I'm pretty shocked at the prices we have. You need to check it out. They don't allow us to say what the prices are. It's just a weird, you know, rule through the travel agency and through Disney. But you can check them out, request a quote. You can go to dlpfest.com to just even buy single tickets. If you're local, you don't want to come, don't want to, you know, get a hotel room or something like that, you can buy your direct tickets right there. Come see Off Kilter, Mulch, Four for a Dollar, The Dream Finder, us doing a podcast, Guitar Dan, all these media personalities that you know through social media are going to be out there. We're adding more every day. But those of you that are asking about the free things that are going to happen, not the hard tickets, not World Slow Chase, which we're doing Thursday night or Friday night on Friday night, of course, DLP Fest. So all day Saturday, we're going to do meetups at the Magic Kingdom for the 45th, and we're going to be doing little things throughout. We're going to start off at the Epcot, have some free events. So we're going to announce all of those in probably the next week. So keep a look on our website on dlpfest.com to find out all of the regular stuff you can do, and just come and have fun with us at WDW Today Weekend.
It's time for Listener Questions with Lynn.
And this is where I typically say, and now welcome to the show, Lynn Testa, but Lynn, you're already on, so let's just get to some questions. This one just came in. It's about the app, so might as well take it. This is from Derek. Derek is the one who already had a slight against Will, so good on him.
Jerk.
Derek said, ask Lynn, why can't you book dessert parties on the app? And he also wants to know what our thoughts are on the new dessert parties, new items, and new pricings. He loves the dessert parties and just wants to know our thoughts. That is something with the app that we still haven't seen yet. It's kind of those special events. You can't book a lot of times I don't know if you could book the villains thing or any of those hard ticket events, I guess you'd say, can't be really purchased, or those extra add-ons. I don't even know if you call them reservations through the app.
Special events,
is that what they call them?
Yeah.
Lynn, why do you think that is, and is there a purpose behind why you can't just go ahead and do that through the app?
I think it's just programming. That the special events are so different than what they normally offer, that it's not, from Disney's perspective, the cost of implementing technology isn't worth the revenue that they're getting.
Yeah.
To do it.
That's probably right. It's ancillary for them still. Yeah. What are your thoughts on dessert parties as a whole now?
I'm not a huge fan of them. They're expensive. You have to show up super early for them, and then the desserts are, generally speaking, just average. You know, if you want dessert and you want to watch fireworks, it's always cheaper to just go get a really nice dessert somewhere else. And there are usually plenty of places to watch the fireworks in all the parks. It's not my thing.
Are all the parks offering now fireworks? I mean, obviously not Animal Kingdom's not offering because they're doing the Rivers of Light whenever that opens.
But like, I'm sure there will be a
But Star Wars Star Wars has it also already, right? They have some sort of party. I saw it set up.
Or is that a dessert party, or is it like you get a ticket by going to like a special
There's like a
dinner.
Table that you I don't even sure. Does anyone know? No one knows?
I'm sure there will be. And there's I'm sure Rivers of Light will have one too.
Yeah. The Star Wars one I would consider purely based on I had actually a pretty difficult time on a mediocre day getting a good spot to see the Star Wars fireworks. I know they've changed. They're going to change it with the projection show. I think that'll even make it harder because there'll be less places you can actually see what's going on because they kind of section off half of Hollywood Boulevard to cram standing room only smashed area all the way down. And the other half is walkway. My son essentially and I just kept going walking back and forth because there was nowhere to see. We ended up trying to go back behind, back over by Hollywood and Vine. And there were some okay views, but there's so many trees and stuff. I would try it for Star Wars, but the others I think I agree with. You're not really paying for much. I haven't done many, so I can't say that I'm sure about that. But it doesn't seem to be amazing views either. Like the Magic Kingdom one, it's kind of like, okay, that's tucked in that noodle station. You know, it's fine. But, you know, that is what it is. Anybody else? Dessert parties.
You know, the ones at Epcot seem kind of cool because they're in kind of a special, there was a natural like area for them to be before they created a party for them. And those are kind of cool. I've done one of those.
All right. Well,
I have no thoughts on them.
Terry, did you have more thoughts? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
I don't. I have another question, though.
Go ahead.
It came in on my Facebook page, actually, from David Dollar.
This is like Terry's self-promotion Wednesday.
On your Facebook page.
On my Facebook page.
Well, because I posted that we were live broadcasting, and David Dollar had a question.
All right, let's hear from old Davey Dollar.
And his question is, do you think they're going to keep Anna and Elsa at the Magic Kingdom as Anna, and as well as moving them over to Frozen in the Norway Pavilion to disperse the crowds? What are your thoughts?
Oh gosh,
there?
Just go ahead and put a stake in me.
A stake in you?
Yeah, move them on. We're ruining the world, choking.
Lynn, do you think?
Will gets very upset over countries and the world showcase.
Yeah,
I agree. I think they should not have put Arendelle in Norway. I think what I'm hearing is that so I'm hearing two interesting things. One, Anna and Elsa will have an exclusive at Epcot for some length of time once it opens, meaning that they'll come out of Magic Kingdom for some undetermined period.
Why? it's not like there's
not
the demand.
To boost the attendance in Epcot.
Because a Frozen ride is not enough.
No, this man's no longer allowed here. He's picketing Norway.
Hey,
just sit in.
Those off-kilter fans got blamed for the death of the Death of the Lumberjacks. So
I'm gonna single-handedly bring down Norway.
Oh yeah, that's what did it. Yeah. Okay.
I know, there's like an article about it. There's an article about how I love Meredith and everyone who runs the off-kilter groups. I'm on there all the time, but there is like an article about how like they were laying wreaths and they were causing commotion. It's like I'm sure that was the big problem. Not that.
Yeah, that was the reason, right?
Have you seen the show that's there now?
I've heard it a couple of times. It's not bad.
I haven't been there just to check it out. It's Canadian, French Canadian folk music, right? Something like that.
Sure.
That's what we'll go with. All right. This one came in.
Go back one more second. The other thing that I'm hearing, and this is an interesting rumor too, is that there won't be Fast Pass Plus for meeting Anna and Elsa when it opens. So the big frustration when it opened the Magic Kingdom with Fast Pass Plus was that guests who booked 179 days, 23 hours, and 59 minutes early didn't get Fast Passes because they were all gone the first minute it was available. So Disney's looking to alleviate some of those criticisms by essentially saying, look, if you want to meet Anna and Elsa, then you're willing to show up at 9 a.m. and dedicate 3 hours of your life to it. Go ahead.
Do you think
it's a rumor?
Think it will be like the And this is okay. Any little ears that are listening, because I've gotten someone mad at me for saying multiple characters. Like I was like, is it the Mickey and Chef Mickey? Is it the Mickey at Main Street? Who are like, no, it's Mickey. I was like, no, okay, come on, let's be adults here for a moment and say, all right, there's two Mickey rooms, right? When you go meet Mickey, is that true?
He's at least both simultaneously.
Right. So will they be doing that?
Mickey's omnipresent, apparently.
It's the reverse of the Heisenberg uncertainty principle. He's in both locations at once. I don't know. Originally, I thought this was going to be some sort of, you know, relatively straightforward outdoor character greeting area. But when I was there a couple weeks ago and I saw how much building they're actually doing, it makes me think that this is way more elaborate than that. And it may be the case where there are multiple rooms that you can be shuttled into.
And since this is happening live, David actually just followed up a question that you already answered.
David, you got enough time. Okay, come on.
No, but Lynn already answered it because Lynn used his Lynn powers to know what David was going to ask.
All right, so let's do one more question, right?
Yeah.
Is that about right?
Yeah.
All right, this is a longie but a goodie. This comes in from Johnny Olnick.
You could you could do it in a dramatic reading voice, okay, but you might get hate mail.
Do you? Yeah, just from that one guy. We know you're listening. We know you didn't unsubscribe.
Yeah, you just deleted the episode you'd already listened to.
Okay. All right. do you want to read this one then? Do you have it in front of you?
I don't have it in front
of
me.
Okay, well then I'll just, do you want me to read it? Not in a dramatic reading voice?
Sure.
All right. How would you guys suggest about scheduling fast passes for a group of 15, including some children who aren't tall enough to meet the height requirements of some rides? Some of the adults might splinter off into groups for big rides, while the grandparents and kids might stick to the smaller rides and shows. And then we might all join back together again for a lot of the time as well. Would you suggest booking two separate groups of fast passes, or keep it simple and book all 15 together? I didn't even know you could book 15.
What is the maximum number you can book on the app?
I know it's at least 15. It may be closer to two dozen. The thing is, you're not going to find anything.
It's just going to come back.
Your availability is going to be so limited because essentially what you're asking Disney is for a one particular 60-minute segment in which there are 15 available slots. I mean, maybe you can get it for some less popular attractions if you do it 180 days out.
Small world.
Yeah. But you know, you're never going to find a group of 15 for it's unlikely that you find them for Seven Dwarfs Mine Train.
We're gonna need a bigger boat.
Exactly.
Not one of those boats that splashes you too hard from Disneyland.
The downsized boats.
Yeah.
So that's gonna be super difficult. I would break it up into, you know, four groups. Five.
How would
three?
You divide 15 by four, Lynn? What's the best grouping
three?
There? There you go. I was just wondering what you thought were the
four, four, and three. Yeah.
There you go.
This one came in. Someone who's
3.75 each. What?
This probably. Yeah. Exactly. You know, figure out who you love the least.
Exactly.
And deal with it appropriately.
And they are the rolling fast pass.
We're all rolling parents here. You know that you've got a least favorite offspring. I mean, come on.
Yeah. There's one quick question that came in. I've actually had this question too. As someone's considering becoming an annual pass holder, what is the days out you can book any given day as fast passes? Like, can I book as an annual pass holder 30 days, 60 days, 100, like period, like as throughout the year? Do we know that?
I believe it's 30 for,
I think it's
for
30.
Annual passes. Yeah.
So that does kind of leave you, cause I was looking, I think the only reason I saw that and thought of that, cause I was looking today at what the longest out I could, and I still couldn't get as an annual pass holder like the Anna and Elsa or any of those, you know, because it's only 30 days out. Does that change if you book?
If you're staying on property, you get more time.
Yeah, then it goes to 60, yeah.
Okay. I don't like that. Come on, man. It doesn't help me out.
Just gotta, they want you to stay on property. They want all of your money. So you have to, if you want the extra 30 days, book a room at Pop Century.
But that's even different for, I even think about that for locals. You know, that's,
yeah,
that's something that is, it's a weird loophole that I don't really care for, because like, I'm an annual pass holder, and true, I have some fast passes right now because I was playing with the app that I don't necessarily plan on using, but I'll dump them before it's time.
Don't let the sun go down on your grievances, Logan.
Exactly. Daniel Johnson, DJ.
Yeah.
All right. That'll do it for this episode of WDW Today. I want to thank the greatest band of podcasting, Off Kilter. Find out about them at offkilter.net. They're playing shows everywhere. Join their Facebook group. Be a part of the Off Kilter community. You will love it. Again, that's at offkilter.net. Of course, this episode has been brought to you by our buddies at Off to Neverland. Travel and book right now with them and get great vacation planning advice, thoughts, details, itineraries, whatever you need, they can do it. As Will likes to say,
you won't get packing from them.
You won't. That's the only thing you won't get from them. All you have to do is pack at Off to Neverland. Go to Neverland.com. And of course, we're talking about WDW Today weekend coming September 28th through October 2nd. Find out all the details at DLPFest.com. Well, That'll do it for today's show. I'm Logan Seculo.
I'm the Nature Boy.
I'm Terry Weaver.
And I'm Lynn.
Yeah. We're going to tell you about the story about the Nature Boy someday because people ask. But let's just say it has an old school connection.
Not today.
Not today. We'll talk to you on the next show.
That was good.
That was smooth. Like butter.